Not as man sees does God see, because man sees the appearance, but the Lord looks into the heart. In the same way, Jesse presented 7 sons before Samuel, but Samuel said to Jesse, "The Lord has not chosen any one of these." Then Samuel asked Jesse, "Are these all the sons you have?" "There is still the youngest, who is tending the sheep," Samuel said to Jesse. "Send for him. We will not begin the sacrificial banquet until he arrives here." Jesse sent and had the young man brought to them. He was ruddy, a youth handsome to behold, and making a splendid appearance. The Lord said, "There, anoint him, for this is the one." Then Samuel, with the horn of oil in hand, anointed David in the presence of his brothers. And from that day on, the Spirit of the Lord rushed upon David. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
A reading from the letter of St. Paul to the Ephesians. Brothers and sisters, you were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Live as children of light, for light produces every kind of goodness and righteousness and truth. Try to learn what is pleasing to the Lord. Take no part in the fruitless works of darkness. Rather, expose them, for it is shameful even to mention the things done by them in secret. But everything exposed by the light becomes visible, for everything that becomes visible is light. Therefore, it says, "Awake, O sleeper, and arise from the dead, and Christ will give you light." The word of the Lord.
The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to John.
Glory to you, Lord.
As Jesus passed by, he saw a man blind from birth. His disciples asked him, "Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind?" Jesus answered, "Neither he nor his parents sinned. It is so that the works of God might be made visible through him. We have to do the works of the one who sent me while it is day. Night is coming when no one can work. While I'm in the world, I am the light of the world." When he had said this, he spat on the ground and made clay with the saliva and smeared the clay on his eyes and said to him, "Go wash in the pool of Siloam," which means sent. So he went and washed and came back able to see. His neighbors and those who had seen him earlier as a beggar said, "Isn't this the one who used to sit and beg?" But others said, "No, he just looks like him." He said, "I am." So they said to him, "How were your eyes opened?" He replied, "The man called Jesus made clay and anointed my eyes and told me, 'Go to Siloam and wash.' So I went there and washed and was able to see." And they said to him, "Where is he?" He said, "I don't know." They brought the one who was once blind to the Pharisees. Now Jesus had made clay and opened his eyes on a Sabbath. So then the Pharisees also asked him how he was able to see. He said to them, "He put clay on my eyes, and I washed, and now I can see." So some of the Pharisees said, "This man is not from God, because he does not keep the Sabbath." But others said, "How can a sinful man do such signs?" And there was division among them. So they said to the blind man again, "What do you have to say about him, since he opened your eyes?" He said, "He is a prophet." Now the Jews did not believe that he had been blind and gained his sight until they summoned the parents of the one who had gained his sight. They asked them, "Is this your son who you say was born blind? How does he now see?" His parents answered and said, "We know that this is our son and that he was born blind. We do not know how he sees now, nor do we know who opened his eyes. Ask him, he is of age, he can speak for himself." His parents said this because they were afraid of the Jews. For the Jews had already agreed that if anyone acknowledged him as the Christ, he would be expelled from the synagogue. For this reason, his parents said, "He is of age, question him." So a second time they called the man who had been blind and said to him, "Give God the praise. We know that this man is a sinner." He replied, "If he is a sinner, I do not know. One thing I do know, that I was blind and now I see." So they said to him, "What did he do to you? How did he open your eyes?" He answered them, "I told you already and you did not listen. Why do you want to hear it again? Do you want to become his disciples too?" They ridiculed him and said, "You are that man's disciple. We are disciples of Moses. We know that God spoke to Moses, but we do not know where this one is from." The man answered and said to them, "This is what is so amazing, that you do not know where he is from, yet he opened my eyes. We know that God does not listen to sinners, but if one is devout and does his will, he listens to him. It is unheard of that anyone ever opened the eyes of a person born blind. If this man were not from God, he would not have been able to do anything." They answered and said to him, "You were born totally in sin, and you are trying to teach us." Then they threw him out. When Jesus heard that they had thrown him out, he found him and said, "Do you believe in the Son of Man?" He answered and said, "Who is he, sir, that I may believe in him?" Jesus said to him, "You have seen him. The one speaking with you is he." He said, "I do believe, Lord," and he worshiped him. Then Jesus said, "I came in the world for judgment, so that those who do not see might see, and those who do not see might become blind." Some of the Pharisees who were with him heard this and said to him, "Surely we are not also blind, are we?" Jesus said to them, "If you were blind, you would have no sin. But now you are saying, 'We see,' so your sin remains." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
This passage is taken from the gospel that we just heard proclaimed. Jesus said to the blind man, "You have seen him. The one speaking with you is he." Gaining sight. I have known people who were blind, either totally blind or declared legally blind. People who had lost their eyesight at some point or were born blind. But I think we all know that whenever you lose one of the senses, your other senses kind of pick up on it and will compensate. And there are two people in particular that I have known, both now deceased, that to me really helped me to understand, to see, have a greater vision. And one of the people I'd like to talk about this morning. Her name was Barbara. I was so happy to get to know her and her affliction that she's been an inspiration to me, and I was very privileged to have her funeral. When I came to one of the parishes that I had, she used to go to Mass every day. But after a couple years, she could no longer live by herself and was not able to be as mobile as she was. So she went to a nursing assisting facility. But after a while, too, her hearing got even worse. She was worse before, but it got so bad that she could hardly hear anything anymore. And then to compound it, she lost her sight gradually due to macular degeneration. And towards the end, before she lost her sight totally, you had to write out everything in longhand, big letters for her to read and she could answer. And one day I asked her in a sentence, I said, "What do you do all day?" And she responded, she said, "I pray and I sleep." But I know that even though she could not read any longer, she could not hear any longer, she was one that was probably very close to God. Every time I would come to see her, and she knew somebody was there and would talk, not knowing who it was, she was kind of like reminding me like the prophet Jeremiah in the book of Lamentations. "I wait patiently and in silence for this coming of the Lord." Her sense was that indeed God was with her and she was near him. And in our gospel passage for today, we have the same situation, this man who was born blind. Even though physically he could not see, he knew that indeed and was longing for to see the presence of the Lord. In our Cycle A readings, the church has us on the third, fourth, and fifth Sundays of Lent to take the gospel passages from the Gospel of St. John. Each of these cases are individuals that the Lord encounters to elicit from them a deeper faith. Last Sunday, we heard the woman at the well, and Jesus revealed that he was the life spring of water to give refreshment to people who thirst. Today we hear the man born blind being able now to see. And next Sunday we will have the raising of Lazarus. There are a lot of points that could be found and reflect upon in our passage for today, but I am selecting just three of them. The first one is right at the very beginning. The man did not ask Jesus to be healed. In many of the other passages and the other gospel accounts, the people request of Jesus being able to see. He might have said to them, "What do you want from me?" They said, "We want to see." But in this case, the man does not even ask. What he wants more than anything else is to know that God is indeed near. Being healed physically and gaining his sight was secondary. He was blessed because once he had received his eyesight, he knew indeed that Jesus was near the Messiah. Because it was believed this, that when you know that the blind see, you know that the kingdom of God is near at hand. The second thing I find unusual is how the Pharisees question his parents. They brought him then because they wanted to know, "Is this your son, and was he born blind?" They were trying to catch them perhaps in a trap. And as you heard in the passage, they were very clever. They didn't say, "Yes, he was cured," because they feared that if they would say that maybe Jesus did cure their son, the worst thing that could ever happen to you is you're thrown out of the temple. And so that's why they kind of disguised their answer. And then the third and the final point is really the following from that is this. The man who could see wanted to see Jesus even dearer. But also to the Pharisees were not going to accept that he had been cured by God. It had to be some sort of quirk or misunderstanding. And as Jesus said, "You are the ones that are born blind and remain blind because of your sins." For us, I hope this passage helps us in our midst of our Lenten journey. Because all so often our sins can blind us. We get blinded from God's truth and his light. One major theme that is found in the gospel account of St. John is that of light, that Jesus brought the light of truth to the world. So I hope that we might ask ourselves, am I blinded to God's truth? Am I blinded not to recognize that Christ is present? He comes to us and is present with us to help us on our journey in life. Because of our sins, we can be so blinded and become selfish. I hope that you reflect upon this gospel passage on your own. This man who wanted to see Christ more than anything else was truly blessed. We want to see Christ as well, to know he is present, to be here to give us the light of his truth, to help us to remove the blindness and the darkness of evil, so that we too, like this blind man, will see God and be totally in thanksgiving that he has given us the light of truth.